Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. This is the very first of our brand new offshoot podcast, Life Logistics, in which the aim is for us to enhance your lives, solve your problems, answer your queries, just make your life better in any way that we can. But we should say, you know what this podcast's like, it could fucking go anywhere. So we have had some correspondence from you. We will go through some of them.
The response has been quite strong.
It has.
And we've had a wide variety of types of problems, which is what we were looking for, I think.
We were just looking for anything, really, weren't we?
Problems big or small, we can tackle them.
Problems big or small, we will try and help them all. Does that
exactly
work?
Exactly, there you go.
But, you know, we might just get one or two done and then end up talking about fucking car parks or something.
Because... Oh, mate, please turn what you just said into a jingle. Or send me the clip and I'll do it.
It didn't quite scan enough. Well, no, I'll work on
that
it.
Makes it better, though.
Problems big or problems small, we will try to help them all.
Yeah.
You don't help
or
a problem, do you?
Solve
a problem.
Solve them.
I prefer help.
That reminds me of, like, you know, like, one of my favourite topics, maybe we could cover this in some way on the Top Flight Tune Machine coming soon, is when lazy lyrics, where they've just like used a phrase, they've invented a phrase that simply does not exist in order for it to scan or rhyme.
Yeah.
So what you just said reminds me of one of the classics of the genre, which of course is the opening to Never Ever from All Saints. Mm. A few questions that I need to know. The first line. I mean, if you sit down to write the lyrics to that song, which, by the way, is a classic song, notwithstanding that terrible crime against lyrics. But it's like, it's all right if you're on to second verse. You're like, oh, I'm fucking bored now. I just want to get it done.
Yeah.
I'll just
run
go,
out of ideas.
A few questions that I need to know. No one will notice by this stage. You'll be in song. The first line. Do you know what I mean? A few questions. I know the second line's got to be how you could ever hurt me so. Fuck it, I just want a few questions that I need to know. That kind of works, doesn't it? First fucking line, mate. Yeah. You drop the ball immediately.
Well, that's probably what the plan was, you know. I'll get them fucking talking. I'll drop this bullshit in line one.
Yeah, I tell you what.
Head spinning.
Pop music, right? It's all about selling the sizzle, not the sausage, right? We'll come out with this fucking lyric, right? And no one will, everyone will be like, bam, what's going on? It'll be in all the papers. Everyone will be talking about it. Next thing you know, number one record. And it worked out that way, didn't it?
It did. I'll just drop that in and I'll give it a bit of effect when I edit the episode.
Yeah.
Problems big or problems small, we will try to help them all.
Yeah, that'll do.
Right, what have we got? Here's the one that stood out for me.
Right.
When I was going through the emails, and I've just lost the fucker. Where's it gone? There you are. Paul Clifford, regular contributor and correspondent, who is living and working in Dubai at the minute. And he says, right, I'll cut to it. Got a wall problem in my flat. It looks like the water from the bath and shower is leaking into the wall. On the other side of it, it's all wet and crumbly and that. Told the French landlady about a year ago, and she said just to get the wall fixed and sent £40 to do it. That doesn't feel enough, does it? Yeah, your wall is riddled with damp. Here is £40. This should do it. He says, I told her there's a leak that needs fixing, and neighbours said there was a problem with how the baths were installed in this block. I told her, and she replied with the most French response ever. Not everyone's truth is your truth. He's got all philosophical on him.
That is the French. I mean, that is why it's so difficult to deal with French. That is why I've never categorised the French as true dis and dats. When we were doing dis and dats about a year ago, lots of people sent in some French stories, but it never conformed to the laid
back. Never felt right, did it? Never
because
felt right.
The French are much more cunning than the Southern European. I count France as more Central European. Right, they're very cunning people because they will use their philosophical minds or philosophical bullshit against you, and it will fucking throw you completely in any argument.
Yeah,
right.
And this is a classic of the genre, isn't it?
This is fucking classic French landladying, right? That's what she's going to do, and that is why I would say avoid a French landlord or landlady. I know that's not good advice because you're stuck with it now, but this was always going to happen. You're better off. I mean, I had an English landlord once. I instinctively dislike landlords. I think most people do, don't they?
Yeah.
And it might be unfair because some people are just trying to earn a living out of it, out of the exploitation of other people's lives. No. I mean,
I'll just say hello at this point to one of my mates who happens to be a landlord.
Yeah, and mine too. Well, you know, Mark the producer, he's a landlord. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that, but he is a property mogul. Right.
Oh.
And he has been extremely caring to his tenants, right?
Good.
During this period, this lockdown period.
That's good.
And he's giving them
landlord.
He's giving them a rent holiday and that because they're a family.
While, care packages.
While their jobs are a bit up in the air, I think one. Anyway, so and I said to him, I said, mate, you know, you need to get this story about yourself out there because most people, wrongly or rightly, think that all landlords are fucking cunts. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like that. Not everyone is. Fucking hell, I've forgotten his name now. Rising Damp.
Rigsby.
Not everyone is Rigsby, are they? And who was the slum landlord of the 60s?
The slum landlord of the 60s.
There was a famous slum landlord, wasn't there, in the UK, who's became a byword for bad landlording.
That. I know there was some fella who was like Britain's top landlord who had like fucking thousands.
Yeah, that's Robbie Fowler, mate.
No, there was another one. Oh. There was another one. I think he had a lot of properties in Brighton as well.
This guy's Rackman. Well, I tell you what,
that's him. I think
I've rented a number of places in Brighton, and that was all very bad experiences. Mm. Right? It was when I was a student, but there was this one letting agent who home lets. Dealt with all the students, right? But they were disgusting people, and they would turn up to show us, and because we were students, they wouldn't treat us like customers. They would treat us like scum. There was obviously a lot of students. There's two universities down there, and I remember this geezer turning up to meet us, and we were outside a home, and we said something like, "Oh, sorry, a couple of our mates are running late, but they'll just join us when they get here." And the letting agent goes, he was a right fat bastard. We all looked like he'd just fallen out of bed with a hangover. He just went, yeah, typical students, right? And I thought, listen, cunt, we're here to spend a load of fucking money on renting this shithole off of you, right? Don't make your opening gambit like that. But that was their attitude.
Morning
they
cunts.
Saw, it was a real morning. They should have called the agency morning cunts. Anyway, Rackman, Peter Rackman, was a Polish-born landlord who operated in Notting Hill, London, England, in the 50s and 60s. He became notorious for his exploitation of his tenants, with the word Racknamism entering Oxford English Dictionary
as
a synonym for the exploitation and intimidation of tenants. So
I think I'm thinking of a different, more recent one, but yeah, that rings a bell. I mean, I've rented like probably about four or five places over the years, and I've been really, really lucky. They've always had decent landlords.
Really?
Yeah, but I think that is really lucky.
The last one I had was we moved out of a house and we rented it, right? We owned it, but we rented it out to other people for reasons that are too boring to go into. And then while we were waiting to buy a new house, we rented another place for a short while, right? With me and the two kids. It was when I had a whole family, and they were like, and this bloke, he was a private landlord. He didn't deal with a letting agent. And he was a fucking arsehole.
Mm.
Unbelievable arsehole, right? And he would be that thing where, like, if you wanted to do anything around the house, he'd say, like, if something went wrong with the house, he'd go, yeah, I can't you fix that yourself? And I'd go, no. He lived down on the south coast of America. No, I, first of all, no, I can't. I don't have the ability. But second of all, even if I could, it's not the point. You're supposed to get this done professionally. It's in the contract. And you go, well, I'm not paying. I mean, it's an easy job. I can do that myself. And then it'd take like a month to turn up sort of thing, right? One time he turned up and we'd got a local, we'd called an agent for a local handyman to come and fix various things. Like one of the problems this house had was it had a slug infestation.
Fucking hell.
Have you ever heard of that before? A slug infestation.
I've heard of it, but I didn't think it was real.
Yeah. Like, you know, an ant infestation or even a wasp infestation, that's normal, isn't it? But slugs, they can get in. I don't know what attracts them. They usually get in and hang around.
What happened then?
They hang around near the washing machine.
You put beer down for them, don't you?
No, you can put salt down, but that really is quite cruel. I mean,
it kills them,
you know, listen, they're all God's creatures. I haven't got a particular affection for the slug community, but at the same time, I don't want to massacre them.
The all the God creatures thing, you know, if you've got an ant infestation, you don't start thinking about God's creatures. You just start thinking about pouring water.
You try to be as
nest.
Humane as is practical.
But
do you think that's what the Nazis said? Listen, we're being as humane as is practical.
Oh, God. Well, this is Life Logistics. You're listening to from Top Flight Time Machine.
Listen, right, you can cut that bit out if you want. But
that's fine.
The point is if you put salt down for the slugs, I see that as chemical warfare, right?
You
don't have to undertake chemical warfare. Anyway, there was various things like that going on, and I got a local handy person round. Well, it turns out, round my way in that time, in that period, the local handy person was a woman.
Okay.
As Roger Brighton. Moore says in The Spy Who Loved Me, when he goes, I'm looking for Dr. Holly Goodhead. And she goes, you've just found her. And he goes, a woman. Because he's so stunned and alarmed and amused that
was
there
this
is a
Brighton
doctor.
You're talking about?
No, this is London now.
Well, there you go.
I know it sounds like a Brighton thing to have a female handy woman.
Although, having said this, a couple of days ago, I was watching Carry On Cabbie, which was 1962, I think.
Yeah, it's a black and white one, isn't it?
Glam cabs.
Yeah.
And the likes of Amanda Barry, who later went on to be Alma in Coronation Street.
That's so weird. That's the cosmos getting involved.
Is it?
You know, like, my lens doing Egypt is his school project at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, brilliantly, my wife suggested today that, although it's not in the least educational, but would be fun, we watch Carry On Cleo tonight, right? Which
Amanda
lends
Barry.
Really into because he likes Carry On films. But Amanda Barry,
yeah.
Carry On Cleo. Oh,
Carry On Cabbie as well. And Carry On Cabbie,
On Cleo, she's dressed basically in a sort of a kind of bikini, gold bikini all the way through, Princess Leia style.
Might watch that later on. But Carry On Cabbie's nothing like the other Carry On films, the first one. And it's just like a proper late 50s, 1960s British comedy. And it's
more like an Ealing comedy.
It's more like an Ealing comedy, yeah. And then they went off in a different tangent.
They got carried a bit like Top Flight Time Machine.
We are the Carry On series of podcasts, I suppose.
Just started going for the knob gags.
So anyway, female handy person.
So she's turned up, right, and she was really nice, and she was great. She fixed loads of things in our house, and we used it quite regularly. Then the landlord turns up, and he's furious that we've spent money, and we've put an invoice in to claim it back, right?
Mm.
So he says he may pay for it, but he wants to inspect the work that's been done.
Fucking invoice and cunt.
Complete cunt, right? So he comes, and he was a knob as well. He was a real geek. He wasn't like the bloke in Brighton who was a bit like, fuck it. He was a bit like, I've got to come and have a look around. And he comes and has a look. And he's like, so who did this? I could have done this better. And I'm like, it needed doing. And I wasn't going to have the house like this waiting for you to bloody get your arse in gear. So it's done now. Well, who did it? I want to know. So I said the name, whatever her name was. He went, but that's a woman's name, right? And I went, that's right, right? And my wife was said as well, and he literally scoffed and went, you got a woman handy person around? Oh, my God. I would have never have agreed to this if I'd known you were doing that. Right, and it made it worse that he was not posh, but he was just an arsehole, right?
Mm.
And I think my wife sort of slung him out of the house for that comment. She sort of said, look, just go and pay us the money.
Oh, excellent. She is a good wife.
Yeah, she was a good wife. But, yeah, so I, because of experiences like this, I dislike landlords. But this French landlady, I don't know, I'd find it harder to tackle her. So in the end, I got a bit aggro with that landlord, and it seemed to work because he was a bit of a wuss, right? So I would start, I'd start getting a little bit aggro with him, and he'd sort of capitulate quickly.
Yeah, that's a bit more straightforward, your problem, but this is like almost existential.
This is much more difficult to deal with. You couldn't get aggro with her. She'd just fucking befuddle you with one of her sort of Jean-Paul Sartre-isms.
Not everyone's truth is your truth. And then Paul says, except this was my truth because it's come back again, the leak. Can't be arsed with the rigmarole, but if it's like this when I move it in October, she'll have my deposit. What should I do?
That's the thing, the deposit, they hold that over you, don't they?
Like, I mean, bastards. If you've got one of those letting agencies that keep it in escrow, where you can, it's like an independent sort of arbiter of any problems, then you're safer. But I think if she's got your fucking deposit, like you say, you've just got to always assume your deposit's going to fucking disappear.
They're always going to find a way to nick your deposit. Always. Yeah. And that's the most sickening thing about the whole situation. At the beginning, when you do the deal, you just want to get in there so you think, fuck it, I'll write the deposit. But you've got to write it off. You've got to write the whole film because they will do everything in their power to keep their fucking deposit.
You've got to treat the deposit as potential bonus money if you ever get it back.
Exactly. If you get it back, go out and have a right good feed up.
Yeah, when you're allowed out again. It's part of the dance, isn't it?
Basically. It is, yeah. It's all part of the dance. I would say, you know, to her, well, I don't know, really. I mean, we're at a loss. This is our first ever Life Logistics, and I'm a bit confounded by it. But we should have said maybe nothing to do with French people.
I think we just said just write it off. Just fucking, you know what
write
I mean?
Write it off, mate. But I would also say I'm disappointed with walls generally, right? I've had this problem for a while. Because if you think walls were invented fucking ages ago, pretty much cavemen were building fucking walls, right? And if you look at all the different developments there's been in every area of human endeavour, a wall can still be fucked by a bit of water, right? And that to me makes no sense. Why in 2020 are we living in homes all around the world, right, that are susceptible to crumbling if they get a bit damp?
A little bit of water.
It's pathetic. But why are we still making walls out of the same materials we made walls out of hundreds of years ago?
You've got to turn that around, though. You've got to look at water, which is probably one of our biggest enemies, but we don't treat it as such. We treat it as a gift, where perhaps it's a potential killer. You think about tsunamis and stuff like that. You think about poison water supplies.
Yeah.
Water is the hidden killer.
Think fire gets a bad rap, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, watch out.
Water gets away
fire.
With it, doesn't it?
Right. Even though fire, like water, is essential to us existing, you know, because the sun is a big ball of fire, isn't it? Right?
We look at water differently because it kills fire, don't we?
Exactly. They're both up to the same thing. They're manipulators, right? Mm-hmm. They kind of go, oh, we'll give you something so you can come to rely on us, but also we will then sneakily kill you.
Basically, nature is trying to destroy us constantly.
In many ways, water is a much bigger threat than fire because you go, well, fire, it's very simple. It can burn you and your stuff, right? You're fucked. It's a very clear and present danger. Water, oh my God, it can drown you.
Yep.
It can dissolve your house, effectively, right? Yep. It can squash you under a tsunami.
If you drink dirty water out of a puddle, it'll kill you.
It'll poison you.
Yeah.
It can electrocute you if, like in that James Bond film, you throw something electric into it, right? It has a multitude of ways of destroying man, and yet all we hear is your Greta Thunbergs and your George Monbiots saying, we run out of water, everyone fucking treat water like it's the best thing in the world. No, George Monbiot, it is not. It is a killer. It is a cancer.
And there's all of this stay hydrated shit. I mean, fucking hell.
That is the biggest
load of bollocks, isn't it?
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
I saw a documentary about that once, right? And Panorama did a really good thing on the myth of water, right? And how, like, there was...
Good.
The whole fucking thing, yeah. And I bet the BBC never showed that again. That's been shut down, hasn't it, by the Illuminati?
Yeah, by Big Water.
By Big Water, right? They said, listen, fucking all this water stuff is bollocks, right? They literally, the conclusion of the whole programme,
yeah.
I remember I was fixated by this programme, they said, very simple, if you're thirsty, have a fucking drink. If you're not, don't worry
don't
about it, right? That's what they said. And they did all this stuff about the amount, every year it gets covered up. People die during the London Marathon, not because of dehydration, but because of overhydration.
Yeah.
That is why Leah Betts died, overhydration, mm-hmm. right? And lots of people overdrink water mm-hmm. and die, right?
Animals,
you effectively drown yourself.
Animals do that. When they're thirsty, they go and have a drink. When they're not, they don't. You don't see animals going around going, oh, I've got 5 litres a day.
Oh, they don't go around with a big fucking bottle of water really ostentatiously taking sips to show how healthy they are and full of vitality.
Exactly.
Because they don't need to. If they're
cows
thirsty,
or badgers doing
they
that,
have
do
a
you?
Fucking drink.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Although, interestingly, my cat Nelson will never, ever drink any water or anything from a bowl or a saucer that's been put out for him.
Oh.
He will only drink water if it is from a running tap, right? And only
okay.
then, he's very particular about the precise... There'll be other people listening who'll have experienced this, because I did some research and it's quite common in the cat community. He'll be really particular about what speed the water flow is coming out at.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he'll jump up in the bathroom, right, when you're in there. He'll jump into the bath and he'll go, wow, 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 like that into an empty bath while, I'm having a shave or whatever. And you'll go, all right, now, so I'll turn the water on. And you turn it on, and if it's a little bit coming out too fast, he'll look at you like, what am I supposed to do with that, you cunt? Right? Are you mad?
Yeah.
So then I'll turn it down
idiot,
much smaller, and he'll look at me again as if to say, well, that's not fucking much
again.
Use, is it? There's fucking water coming out.
You,
get it right,
son. Are you
fucking
new here or something?
Yeah. And the only other place he'll drink it from is out of a human glass, right? But,
I almost
to this.
Thought, Sam, I almost thought that you were better see out of a human glove.
But obviously
as
gloves, woolen ones
glove.
Are no good because the water goes through, so you have to get a gauntlet. Like,
yeah.
Not a gauntlet, a, what do you call a metal glove?
That's a gauntlet, isn't it?
Or is it
gauntlet? You throw down a gauntlet.
Oh, yeah, gauntlet, yeah.
Okay, get a leather glove, that'll hold water.
Anyway, it doesn't matter because it's not
it
a
not?
Human
right.
glove. It's a human glass.
We'll get onto a second problem shortly.
But the mad thing about him is, right, is that if you, like recently, because of his tail problems, we've been paying extra attention, we go, we better leave some water out for him. If you give him, because you know he'll drink from a human glass, if you pour a glass specially for him and put it down, he knows that's for him. And he'll look at it and go, I wasn't fucking born yesterday, dickheads. I know that's a glass for me. I'm only going to drink from your fucking glass. Right? So, if you want him to drink because you're worried about him dehydrating, which I have been, right, you have to get a glass of water and very visibly in front of him, drink from it.
Delicious
human water. Oh, lovely. I'm just going to leave that there. Honestly, I'm not exaggerating. This is what I do. And then I leave it there and I go, oh, I'm just going to walk over here for a minute. Now, don't you go stealing any of my water. Then the cunt will drink it. But
fucking
he knows
hell.
If you're trying to trick him. He fucking knows. And I'll be interested if any listeners have had this, because I've run this past a couple of other cat-owning associates and they've confirmed that their cats behave in a similar way, which is why online you can actually buy a cat fountain, which even I, known for my fucking impulse buys of stupid fucking whimsical follies off of the internet, even I've never bought. but you can get a special drinking fountain for your cat.
Yeah, you'll get one. One of these days, you'll get one.
Anyway, in conclusion, you've just got to write off the deposit.
Just write
and
it
if
off.
You get a penny of it back, spend it on something fun because it's a bonus. Just on the real quick, on the subject of French philosophical speakers, I always remember my older brother saying he was in France and he had a work colleague called Olivier who ran the French branch of his company. And they were at a party in Paris or whatever. And my brother was chatting up one of the girls who were working on this job with them. And this French bloke, Olivier, sidled up to him in a quiet moment. He goes, "My friend, I can see what you are doing." No, he didn't even say that. He just sidled up to him and said really cryptically, "My friend, you are trying to catch a train. Seth has already left the station, I think." And my brother went, "What, mate?" And he went, "I think you know what I mean." And then he just walked off enigmatically. It took my brother quite a while to work out. He was going, hey, she's mine, dickhead. I've been putting the groundwork in on that one."
"My friend, when the seagulls follows the trawler."
Exactly. Exactly. That's how they all talk. That's why when Cantona did that thing, we're all like, fucking English, the most straightforward talking people are just like, "What? Fucking hell, he's gone bananas, isn't he?" In French, they're just like, what do you mean? Of course.
I understand what he says, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that was why he kicked that man. He didn't even need to say it.
Let's move on. While we're on walls, Cowden Harley on Twitter says, "Best way to fill in screw holes in a wall." Fucking filler, innit? Get some filler.
Get some fucking polyfiller,
just
mate.
Get some filler, but make sure you get the stuff with a nozzle so you can squirt it in and
get
it as far in as you can.
Don't get to mix your own where you have to then get a knife. I don't have a specialist knife. I'd probably go to the kitchen drawer and choose the worst of my eating knives.
Yeah, but I'm saying fill as much of the hole as you can. Don't just fucking cover up the exit of the hole or entrance, whichever.
Yeah, that's what
is.
I mean. But when you get your own stuff, I don't know if they still do it, but when we were kids, you used to when we'd play around with filler as kids, you'd get it in powder form, wouldn't you? And then you'd mix it up with water in a palette or a bowl or a saucer.
Yeah.
And then you'd scrape it on using a knife.
Yeah.
But you're never going to get inside the hole that way. So
don't
be fooled by that. Like Andy says, get the tube with the nozzle and get it right fucking in there, mate.
Fill the whole fucking thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got
one from here. He says, "Please can you help me solve this lockdown problem? I'm on lockdown with one other person who insists on constantly sipping boiling hot tea and eating extremely loud foods. Honest to God, I think they buy their crisps from a DIY store and their bags of nuts contain gravel. Usually this wouldn't bother me at all, but now every time they eat or drink anything at all, I want to rip their face off. I think lockdown is getting to me. This person also listens to the podcast, so please don't use my name. Use my lockdown identity, which is, you'll like this, Gentle Kenneth."
All right, you've already mentioned his name at the beginning then, so I'll try and remember to beep that out.
Oh, yeah. All right, Gentle Kenneth.
Great.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's getting to you a bit. I've always found the sort of people, like my mum was in a theatre once. We took her to New York for one of her landmark birthdays, I think her 70th. And she was in a theatre and she was eating sweets. And I've never considered my mum a noisy eater, but I don't know. And some guy turned round to her and went, "Could you please stop eating those goddamn sweets so noisily, lady?" Real New Yorker, right? A camp New Yorker, she said. And she was like, "Fucking hell, all right. Calm down," like that, right? Mm. She was still adapting to the, the world of New York arts and culture. And I wasn't there, but one of my brothers had been. And I was just like really annoyed because I thought, who are these cunts who get annoyed by people eating? I mean, fair enough if someone's going, "Mwah, mwah, mwah, mwah."
But
you know, when it's just like they're not eating normally. And to be honest, some foods inevitably do make a sound. As long as the person is trying to keep their mouth shut, you just got to live with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sorry to be unsympathetic, Gentle
Kenny. It just might have been just one of these neurotic cunts who just likes fucking shouting at people.
That's
annoyed
what I think.
By the slightest thing. You never know what the reality is, do you?
What I would say to Gentle Kenneth is this. At least you are self-aware enough to know that it's lockdown that's getting to you, because you wouldn't usually react like this. But what you've got to think, right, when something like that that someone else is doing is irritating you and then you start to obsess over it, then you've got to think, I can't control the other person or the other thing. All I can control is my own reaction to that thing, right? Mm. And if you start to stew and obsess and fixate on the behaviour of another person that you can't really change, right, then you they haven't got a problem. It's all your problem, and the problem is entirely in your hands. And sometimes it's just something extremely practical, right? And that might be, if you see them or hear them eating, you just go into another room. Do you know what I mean? And you just take a breath and you just think, I'll just do something else for this period. Avoid eating, avoid being around them when they're eating. Put some fucking headphones on and say, I'm just going to listen to some jazz music. I don't fucking know. But just do, always think, and this is the same, this will be an answer, the theme of my answer to a lot of questions that people ask here. It's like, always just think, what can I do to take this problem, to take myself away from this problem?
How can I take ownership of this myself?
Yeah.
Mm. Fair enough. Here's one from Big Northern Al on Twitter. Should knives go in the dishwasher cutlery basket with the blade up or down? I say blade up, but wife says blade down. He doesn't mention if she's... Oh, no, he does. She's been a good wife so far.
Good.
He says since last December. Quite a recent wife then. Mm. But I think this might be her first feeling. I've got an answer for this. If it's a round bladed knife, like a butter knife, blade up.
Yeah.
If it's a sharp knife, blade down. It's pure safety.
Is that for safety? Yeah, rather than... Yeah, that makes absolute sense to me. I've always... I think that if you've got sharp knives, best not put them in the dishwasher, because it will affect their sharpness.
Oh, is that a thing, is it?
Yeah, it will.
I thought you meant in case they, like, fly loose and cut the whole of the inside of the dishwasher to shreds.
Yeah, it could be a fucking massacre in there. Think of your sharp knife is like... Think of the, like, all of your dishwasher things, all your, your cutlery, your crockery and all of that as a sort of, as, like, the cast of Finding Nemo, right? Mm. And your dishwasher's the ocean. And a sharp knife is a shark, right? And if you lock it in there, it'll just demolish everyone. Now, the thing is, if you've got a good quality knife, the manufacturer will always discourage you from putting that in a dishwasher. It will it will accelerate the bluntness.
But then you've got a knife sharpener anyway, so you don't care. You get to use your
I'm
knife sharpener.
I'm not feeling good about that knife sharpener at the moment.
Oh, really? Has there been an issue?
Well, it was just fucking great for the first few times, and now it's just stopped being effective.
Mm. Okay. That can happen.
You don't sound surprised at all. You knew it was going to
happen. Well, I think if you buy things off Instagram adverts, you're asking for it, basically.
Yeah, but, and the AirPods, only one of them works.
Yeah. Oh, the ones that I got from China a while ago, they're on special offer again. I'll send you the link. They're good.
Yeah, I might have to go back for another pair. Yeah.
They're not from Instagram. I'll send you the link to them.
Okay.
They were on Hot UK Deals, which is a website I was talking about on Mince yesterday. And it's a great website, Hot
UK
Deals.
Housewives for a minute.
Well, if you type it in wrong, that's what you get. But Hot UK Deals gives you all the latest bargains.
you were trying to search a Hot UK house, Hot UK Widows.
I stumbled upon Hot UK Deals by mistake because I had filters on.
So I saw someone talking about Widows the other day. Oh, yeah, I was watching the film The Lost Boys, and the granddad in it is dating a woman who you never see, who's from, like, next door, and they call her, like, the widow. I can't remember what her surname is. Let's say she's called the Widow Jones, right? And I thought to myself, why have we never done that? Like, we've never referred to Sarah Green as the Widow Green, have we?
No, we haven't, have
or
we?
Or Debbie McGee as the Widow Daniels.
Mm.
Anyway, just something a little side about, note, mate. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to think about.
Think about. So I was looking for the earbuds. They're called Redmi AirDots.
You've actually sent me the link before, and I made the mistake of not buying them then, and instead being like, you know, like a magpie being drawn towards a fancy...
Towards a fucking Instagram advert, whereas you didn't trust the king of logistics. I've sent you it again. Yeah. I've sent you the link again just now. There was another email, I think, I was looking at before. Where's it gone? Who would win in a fight between Godzilla and King Kong, says David Hilditch.
Godzilla, probably. Big fucking... What is he like? Uh, He's a gigant. I mean, King Kong just relies on brute strength.
King Kong will maybe crush the life out of him if we got all of
him. Does Godzilla shoot fire from his mouth like a dragon?
Possibly. I don't know. Okay. Or lasers from his eyes.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. On Twitter, we've got some, haven't we?
I've gone through them. I've put the best one. Do's and don'ts of social distancing. Are you allowed to break the examples? Are you allowed to break the guidelines if you're bored? No, I think you've got to stick to the rules.
You've got to observe it pretty closely.
Yeah, I think that's about it. It's fizzled out, but we've established in episode one of Life Logistics that water is the true enemy of all of us, and that walls aren't satisfactory. So we've got somewhere, I think.
Are we done?
We're done, yeah.
Are we done? Yeah. Sorry. I didn't hear you for a second because someone was trying to call my phone. I've got a quick... I was just going to quickly say the addictive personality one. I won't read his name in case he's, case he wants to keep it private. Evening, chaps. Looking for some advice. How do you cope with your addictive personality other than a reset? Well, yeah, you could always go into the woods camping to reset your
demons. Easier said than done, though, isn't it?
How do you deal with the urges to slip back into these addictive traits? I have a good wife, two young kids, and... in the main, a pretty excellent life, but I keep getting pulled back into the addictive tendencies. Well, that is very tough, and it is a big question and a complicated one to answer, but I would always suggest looking into something like either AA or NA. Some people are suspicious of that. Some people think there's religious undertones to it. There aren't. It's really helpful to speak to other people who and you realise how normal the things you're going through are. And also, the main thing is to be really open, because a lot of addictive tendencies go hand in hand with secrecy. And what that does is it gives you a back door. So you might stay sober or whatever for a while, and then... but because you were quite secretive about your use of drugs or drink or whatever, you've always got that option if you've had a bad day or a stressful day or you're buzzing about something to go off and secretly go back to your addictions. But if you suddenly become someone who talks about it openly with your loved ones and pretty much anyone, then there's no back door. You've got too much to lose. The stakes are too high. You're just like you're out there. Do you know what I mean? And you've told everyone everything. And it's hard, but most people who love you will understand and sympathise with you anyway. So those are the main things. But all of that stuff you'll learn if you go to a group. And they're doing them online. So if you Google it, it's really easy. You can find whether it's NA or CA, which is the cocaine one, or Alcoholics Anonymous, all of them. They're all doing them online. And what I would say as well is, if you like funny anecdotes, which if you listen to this show, you probably do, it's the number one best place you can go to. You will hear the funniest, fucking most mad, hilarious stories you've ever heard. And you will learn shit as well. So try that.
Are you allowed to go along if you're not an addict, just as a casual observer?
I don't think really you should. But, you know, things like that are all about a fellowship, aren't they? They're all about... I mean, by the way, I've been to a couple of meetings, but I'm not a regular person. I'm not a zealot. I've been lucky enough to afford sort of private therapy and blah, blah, and done a lot of different things. But what I do know is that from being at just a handful of them, and also I know lots of mates who swear by it, friends, relatives who've got through all sorts by this group, I just know it works. And I know that people go, and the first time they come away going, oh, why did they talk about God? They don't mean God. They don't mean Sir John God. They just mean the cosmos. What we would call on this show, the cosmos.
Sir John Cosmos. Yeah, choose your own higher power.
Exactly, that's it.
It could be more than that.
That's addiction solved for everyone.
Yeah, that's addiction solved, and water, and the myth of Frenchness. yeah, that's it.
It's been really strong. Really strong first episode, mate.
I think
really
so.
Strong.
Yeah. What's our new email address? We've got a new email address or something, haven't we? I haven't figured out how to log into it.
Yeah, hang on a sec. I've forgotten what it is. contact@tftimemachine.com.
Was it? All right.
Yeah, contact@tftimemachine.com. You can use that. Okay. I mean, you can carry on using the Gmail one, but for reasons, logistical reasons, we needed to set up that one too.
topflighttimemachine@gmail.com is the other one. Or on the Twitter, if you're open about your problems, if you don't want to be discreet, you can tweet us them as well. We might get through two or three more.
Always mark your
well.
Emails for Life Logistics, though, because we get a load of other emails too, and we want to be able to sift it.
Use the hashtag Life Logistics.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back with another one next Tuesday. TTFN.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.